Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast. And this was such a well-received episode last time when we dug through the book drop. Turns out that everyone is as nosy as we are.
And so we decided to bring back another episode where we take a few books from the book drop and talk about them. So, and we actually are even naming this episode format.
Ooh, commitment.
Yes, we're calling it Book Drop. So here for your voyeuristic pleasure, we've each pulled three books from the book drop and we'll talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, do you want to go first?
I will go first. So I saw this one sitting in the book drop, and I knew I had to pick it up because I am from New Orleans. Well, basically. This is In a Wild Crocodile, New Orleans Slow Cooker Recipes. And I even flipped through it to see if it was legit, because some people pretend they're doing New Orleans recipes, and they really, really don't. But you know it's legit because there are two recipes for jambalaya. One contains tomatoes, and one does not. So one is Creole and one is Cajun. So they know their stuff when they make sure to make that distinction in the recipe so people don't start fighting them.
Nice. I never even knew there was a difference.
Since it is a slow cooker recipe book, they have all of these different things like chapatulas, chili, oyster and artichoke soup, but they're all pretty easy. Most of them are add ingredients, stir, cook for 8 hours.
Nice. The first one I'm going to talk about, I actually have a little bit of buyer's remorse about. The cover looks really cool, and it's called The Word is Murder, and it's by Anthony Horowitz. So it's on the cover, it's got a pencil, and it's got a big butcher knife next to it. And the premise actually sounded kind of interesting. A woman goes to a funeral parlor to basically plan a service for herself, and then 6 hours later, she's found strangled to death with a cord. But where it got a little bit cheesy was apparently, like, there's this disgraced detective that's assigned to investigate her case, and he happens to hire a writer with the same name as the author to follow him around and kind of document what he's doing. And some of that just felt a little off to me.
Yeah, kind of like a weird reversed ghostwriter like
thing. And anytime the author kind of makes himself a protagonist, I just get...
Especially when they're so blatantly do it. They're like, this is an author with my name.
So, anyway, it might be interesting. He's a good author. I just think I'll give this one a pass.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe you get in there and you realize it's different than it seems. So my next book is not different than it seems. It's called Get Well Soon, History's Worst Plagues and the Heroes Who Fought Them.
Oh, that one's been on my reading list.
I loved it. I listened to the audiobook, which was really good. It was read by the author, Jennifer Wright, and she's very funny. One of the things that I really liked about it is it goes very in-depth about the plague, but it also goes in-depth about the people who were in charge during the plague. And one of the most important things that she points out is having a leader who does not go crazy and not know how to handle anything.
Yeah, always good in a crisis.
Yeah. Like, the bubonic plague was awful, but a lot of it was because they didn't have a centralized power that was helping them stay afloat. Bodies would pile up in the streets, which would cause the plague to spread and get worse, and hygiene wasn't a big thing. In the beginning, they talk about the Antonine Plague. The Antonine Plague happened under Marcus Aurelius. She talks about the fact that he sold all of his worldly possessions to keep the country's coffers full so they could keep bodies off the street. He was almost single-handedly keeping the country going. Even the Roman army was starting to fall because all of the soldiers who were coming home with the plague were dying, and they were all the young men, so all of the old farmers were suddenly soldiers. But there were also a few really good parts in here. I may have teared up a little bit because they talk about leprosy and a priest who basically live in a leper colony, but then he really made the most of it, and they were like...
You're not talking about Damien, are you?
Yes.
That's who my son is named for.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a cool guy. Yeah, he was a cool guy, man. Read the book if you want to learn about the person her son was named for.
All right, so I was feeling a little feisty this morning, so I ended up picking up Other People's Rejection Letters. And at first I thought this was going to be about, like, rejections for manuscripts, but it's so much more than that. It's like every kind of rejection imaginable. So I wanted to read to you at least one example that I thought was funny. It's actually from Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. And it's addressed to a Mr. Richard Barrett. Dear Mr. Barrett, this is to acknowledge receipt of the photos and letters you sent us. We have reviewed the material and are unsure of your purpose in sending it to us, so we are returning it to you for your safekeeping. Sincerely, Carolyn A. Johnson.
it really makes you wonder what photos he sent to them.
I can only imagine all kinds of crazy. So, and it even includes like screenshots of breakup texts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's every kind of rejection imaginable.
Yes.
Or even one where a kid was writing to his mom asking her to come play with him. And she actually wrote on the bottom, "Go ask your daddy," smiley face.
Oh, no. My last book is by Maya Angelou. It is Even the Stars Look Lonesome, and it is one of her essays / biographies. She has many of them. But what I really liked is the dedication in the beginning. "These thoughts are dedicated to the children who will come to maturity in the 21st century. Their charge will be to eliminate warfare, promote equality, exile disease, establish justice, and increase joy. In fact, to make this a perfect world." And it's dedicated to all the children of the world. And it just talks about her life. It doesn't go really in depth into like poverty and warfare. It's mostly just her living her life and all of the things that happened to her.
Okay. So my last one is actually a comic, and it's called Introvert Doodles. As an introvert in a very extroverted world, I could relate to a lot of it. But my favorite was where I'm guessing it's a couple. The guy comes home, and he's like, "Hey, how was your day?" And she says, "Productive. I unsubscribed from all the junk emails cluttering my inbox, made a new fitness board on Pinterest. I also updated my blog and posted my manicure on Instagram and made sure my yard doesn't look overgrown on Google Street View." And he kind of frowns and says, "You've been sitting there all day, haven't you?" And she says, "Don't be silly. I used the bathroom twice." So, I mean, anything to maybe help you understand the introvert in your life. It's pretty silly.
Yes. And let's be real. Going through your email and unsubscribing from all of the junk mail is an arduous task. And it takes a lot of your energy. So
I have to do it like weekly with my work email. All right. Well, thank you for helping us sift through the book drop this week.
And we hope that was fun, as fun for you as it was for us, getting to see what other people are reading.
Stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.
Bye.